Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Redskins Talk, the podcast. This one is going to be a lot of fun. We are here with Brian Mitchell and Chick Hernandez. And what's cool about this is going to be a podcast recorded after the Redskins. What are we, 3 hours since the Skins got rid of Joe Barry? Something like that?
Yes.
And I want to get...
Wasn't that confusing, though?
Why?
All reports. John Gruden gets rid of the whole staff.
Or Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden. Then you hear four people.
Right. Three. And one of them's the
D-coordinator, the conditioning coach, Rico's already.
What's that report?
And two more. So, it's just crazy.
Yes. People jumped on Twitter and went, okay, yeah, it's our story too.
I was focused on gumbo, man.
Gumbo was good, dude.
I saw the pictures that Doc put up of gumbo. I've had it this past weekend.
Unfortunately,
so I can't
he called me B-Bitch instead of B-Bitch.
Oh, jeez. Well. It's a good thing this is a podcast.
Wow.
All right. B-Mitch, your reaction to Joe B, was it the right move?
You know what? I'm not going to sit up and say whether it was the right move or not because, yes, he did not have a lot of personnel. But I heard you say the same thing I've been thinking. It was the fact that they didn't make adjustments. You know, I can understand you going to a game and – you know, basically, like I said, you're going into a gunfight with a knife, with a butter knife. That's defense had. But you can make some adjustments, and he rarely made adjustments. So, but moving forward, whoever the next coordinator is, they better give him some talent, or that next coordinator be getting released in 2 to 3 years too.
I agree, and especially the defensive line. We had Chris Baker. We did an interview with him earlier, and he said it said a lot to me when a player was talking about a lack of talent. You know, players don't really want to get into that, but Bake was honest about it. All right, Chick.
You have to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Your reaction to Joe B going, and was it the right call?
Right call, sure. Change was needed. You don't like to see guys lose their jobs. We all like Joe Barry. He's very honest to us off camera and on.
Yeah.
So we like Joe a lot. It's just that he wasn't getting the job done for a myriad of reasons. One, his own inability to adjust, as B. Mitch alluded to. And two, if your talent pool is shallow, well, no one's going to survive that. And they didn't have, you know, if you're going to run a 3-4 and not have an actual nose tackle,
right?
Chris Baker's good, not a nose tackle. If you're not going to have a safety who can roam, you're going to be in trouble out of the get-go. So it was inevitable. You had to do something. This also takes the heat off of all the Kirk Cousins talk for a little while, too.
A little bit.
Not saying that's a motivating thing, obviously. Jay Gruden, I think Jay is the one who made this call.
I do. I agree. The one thing I think is worth differentiating is I think Joe B proved to be pretty good as the season went on in in-game adjustments. If you think about a lot of second halves, during that four-game win streak, they shut a lot of teams down in the second half. Mm-hmm. Where I think he struggled was personnel adjustments.
After the argument with he and Chris Baker on the sideline, he began to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we talk bad about this defense, if this defense didn't step up in some games, it wouldn't have been 8-6-1.
Totally.
Okay, 8-7-1.
8-2-1.
This team
here. Where'd you learn math from?
I don't know, man. I just went through math class. You know, they football player, they gave it to us.
No, I'm joking. I know.
I'm joking on that.
He's a big idiot.
But ultimately, when you look at it, there are games early in this season that the defense held and allowed them to win.
Mm-hmm.
Defense got the ball back for them and gave it to them.
Absolutely.
Now, we go down the stretch. As much as people knock the defense, they were bad on third down. But, hell, we were bad, too, on offense and couldn't get some third downs. We were atrocious in the red zone. In the last four games, they lost three. Arizona, Carolina, and in the last game to the Giants. The offense wasn't spectacular.
I think you can say the Panthers game and the Giants game, the offense was the problem.
So people find the one thing that they want to knock. But it like Joe Gibbs used to say, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in this together. And as good as the offense was, they can brag about they broke the yardage record
right.
Or what they did up and down the field, but they weren't close to the scoring record. And you win football games by scoring. So Joe Barry is gone now. That's the one scapegoat. They don't have no more scapegoats.
Right.
This offense better step it up, and the next coordinator coming in, he also understands they just got rid of one, acting as if it was all on the defense, when this offense and the special teams also had a lot to do with them losing games too.
I'm with you. I don't think Joe B is not the problem. He was part of
correct
a set of problems. Yeah. I do
and
think.
And he wasn't like from the moment he got here, because once you're associated with 0-16, nobody can give you a chance.
I mean, think about when he was hired, everybody was screaming for Vic Fangio.
Right.
And then just
the
0-16
that the Redskins just scored 31 on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it looks like Fangio is going to be safe in Chicago. But so were you surprised when you heard the news?
You know, when I heard it, after hearing Jay yesterday, I think it was day before yesterday, after hearing Jay, I figured something was in the works and something was coming soon. Because if you're going to make a move, you damn well better make it right now, this week, so you can get everything started.
Right.
Yep.
You can't wait and drag it along.
Because they're at the Senior Bowl in 10 days.
They need to be there.
Kids.
They need to start.
And they'll have a DC by then.
They probably already talked to a DC.
There's no question.
You don't make this move without already talking to somebody.
No
so
question.
What I'm looking for, listen, I don't care who they hire. I just want to make sure that who they hire is going to have a mindset of what they're going to do. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm going to look right now. I'm sick and tired of hearing we run a 3-4. They don't run a damn 3-4. They're in 4-3 75% of the time.
They're in the nickel.
We run a 4-3. I mean a 3-4. You don't have enough athletes at the linebacker position to run a legitimate 3-4. So if whoever is trying to keep that mindset going, that's the person who should get released. Because that's stupid. You know, ever since they went to the 3-4, things started going south.
So, Mr. Chick, I've gotten to know you
Mr.
a little
Chick,
bit.
What old are you?
Old enough.
That goatee is definitely Mr. Chick.
You should respect your elders.
Listening to you
is
that
a picture, Jay?
Oh, his high school picture? I did. Everybody needs to check that out on Facebook.
Oh, whatever. Yes.
You sounded like you were hinting that you might know something about the speed with which a new coordinator will get hired.
Well, first off, the hysteria of the entire defensive staff has been fired was ridiculous. But when you fire a defensive coordinator, which, as you intimated to me, Mitch, you kind of felt when Jay said something had to be done. There's no question. You didn't have to self-scout yourself. Jay Gruden didn't have to self-scout and go, we need a defensive coordinator. So there's no question in my mind that Jay Gruden's already spoken to at least one, probably a couple, but he's already got somebody in mind, and now that's just being worked out because, as you said, you got 10 days until the Senior Bowl.
Right.
You have to have somebody in there. Mm-hmm. And what has to happen now is that guy that Jay has, he's got to bring him in, and Scott McLuhan, what are you getting? What groceries are you bringing to the table defensively? Because what athlete do we want here? And does that DC mesh with that?
I asked him a question. The gumbo you just ate. If I sent you to the store to buy the ingredients without telling you anything, would you be eating what I just gave you?
No.
Okay.
I could get,
so,
I don't
right
know,
now,
spices and
right
everything.
Right now, I know Scott has a mindset of what he wants to do. But Scott, you're working with a coach who has his idea of what his team should be.
Right.
See, the thing about it, I talk to too many people who thinks that everybody should make a decision. The head coach should be final say when it comes to building his team. And he should work
over the GM?
He should work with the GM.
Okay.
But ultimately the head coach decides on what his game plan is.
Right.
But so the GM has to bring people that are likened to the head coach's guy.
Right.
You can't have a head coach who has a mindset, but the GM keeps bringing his mindset in. Because with the GM, if he's doing that, he's trying to get people he likes. Which means eventually he wants to get a person
that's
he
the,
likes.
That's the problem.
So I'll tell you, I go back to Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs was here with Charlie Casserly. But I guarantee you, final say about who's coming on the team was Joe Gibbs. Charlie probably negotiated with them and went out and scouted the guys. But Joe made the decision. And Joe made people understand that the players are happy and they win, we all get paid. Right?
Are you talking coaching staff when you're saying?
I'm saying coaching staff.
And players.
I'm saying players, whoever. But you have to realize, whatever the mindset is with the GM and the head coach today, the franchise needs to also embed itself into figuring out, we're going to stick with this for the rest of our being,
right,
our time of existence. Because the problem that I have with the Redskins, every time we bring in a head coach, we change the damn system.
Right. Sure.
So if you keep changing the system, you're never going to have continuity. You're never going to be consistently good. You're going to go up, down, up, down. And for a lot of coaches, it's a good thing. Because if I change it, I got 2 or 3 years to get my people right. Then it keeps me around.
Right.
But they need to figure out what they want to be. When Joe was around for them 10, 11, 12, whatever it was, it was run the football, stop the run, hard nose. The Giants, they had their type of people. The Ravens had their type of people. The Steelers. Since I got into the league in 1990, the Steelers are still doing exactly what they did even in a passing league. But we change every time a coach comes.
So that's why I argued, and I still say that it's time to at least have a conversation about giving Jay Gruden an extension to guarantee that continuity moving forward. But you touched on something really interesting that I want to ask Chick about. You touched on the relationship between Scott McLuhan and Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
There was, I thought, in Gruden's season-ending presser, a comment that really stood out when he was, and some of it is tough for Jay to answer these questions because these are draft questions and building roster questions that maybe Scott should be answering, but Jay was the only one there to answer it.
Right.
And the question was, hey, you know, Scott has his timeline for building this team. You have your timeline. How do those mesh? And Jay's answer was, well, I've been here 3 years, and so far we've got an injured guy and a guard in the first round.
Took a shot.
What was your reaction?
Yeah, he took a shot a little bit. He took a shot, but it was the reality of the situation. And Jay, as we well know,
is straightforward.
Straightforward. And lets it come
and
roll
funny,
off.
And funny, man.
Yes, he is.
He is funny.
But I think the shot was more about the receiver, though.
No question. Josh
at
Dotson,
the receiver.
Yeah. Josh Dotson, who's done nothing. He hadn't done anything.
It was at the receiver and a combination of at the GM, too.
Yeah. No question.
Agreed.
Because the guard is a Pro Bowler. I don't think Jay, Scott, or anybody else is upset at that move.
And what's going to have to happen here is that whoever the DC is, the defensive coordinator, and Jay Gruden have to talk with Scott McLuhan, and you can... Didn't mean to hit the table there. You can, when talking with McLuhan, say, look, the DC goes, I need a guy who is laterally really good. I'm not looking for a guy that's just bull strong because that's not our defense. We'll have enough bodies that can fill that hole. I need somebody that can move, or it's the other way.
Uh-huh.
But if Scott McLuhan's going, I like this guy and he's good at this, no. I need this guy for this defense. And if you have this guy and this combo here, we're going to be so much better, and that has to work together.
The one thing I look at our outside linebackers, they can all rush straight ahead.
Right.
They can't change direction very well. They can't cover.
That's a problem.
Preston got an interception. That's not because he was covered, because he had dropped back in a zone.
Well, and he knocked it up. Blitz, I mean, it wasn't like a – yeah.
And they all lose contain.
They all
lose contain. They have to find someone of the ilk of my man from Von Miller. I'm talking about, now I'm not saying of his caliber, because you're not going to find many of those.
Right.
But a guy, you watch Von Miller damn near get the sack and turn around and make the tackle.
Yeah.
Okay, you watch him drop in coverage, he covers, he intercepts and goes.
Right.
You watch.
We don't have that.
You watch Skins games.
We have lumbering pass rushers.
Early. Every first quarter, there is a misdirection play off the edge.
Sure.
And you tend to watch the Redskins outside linebackers, any of them, Kerrigan, Murphy,
right,
Preston, crash down,
game
and then
plan.
That guy is gone.
Sure. They game plan.
Right, the offenses know they can do it.
And
early.
What does Jay say? We have to go back and we, what is this, what y'all say about self-scout?
Yeah.
Well, damn, they can't be self-scouting that, because it worked every game.
Yeah. I could bootleg by them.
They get, when I see a DN linebacker slash ends up past the center, that's not a good move. And I guarantee you,
crashing down. You're saying
I know
way.
Greg Minuski. I played with him, and he states keep contained. Do they keep contained? Now that's when I get into the argument with a lot of people on Twitter, and Facebook.
No. You argue with somebody? Okay?
Because they want to tell me that was the coach has to teach him that. You think the coach not teaching him that?
Right.
You think the coach didn't, like, when the guys in the secondary, you know, we have our hit, our Whitner, you think the coach didn't tell him if you're in cover two, you got from the hash mark over, and he was running to the middle of the field?
Fifth grade, Maplewood versus Peppermill.
You're a Maplewood guy?
I'm a Maplewood guy.
So am I.
Fifth grade, Maplewood versus Peppermill. Peppermill ran reverses all day. That's what Peppermill did. Yeah. And all they told us was contain your edge. Stay home. Yeah. Yes. Stay home. Fifth grade. So these guys have heard that their whole life. It's true. Not like a new principle.
They don't practice as hard. They don't practice it.
I'll ask you two a question. I was asked a question by a guy today, and I wish I knew his name, but I forgot his name. He was like, is it up to the coach or the player to bring the potential that the player has in him out? I said, at this level, it's first on the player.
Sure.
You're a professional now. You get paid. What did Lorenzo say? You get a king's ransom for a kid's game. And the players that are rushing home that we know is still some on that team to play video games instead of staying your ass there and doing a little more film study and getting a little extra workout. That's the guys, like when we look at the people like J.J. Watt, with Von Miller, those guys are doing stuff. Josh Norman, Tom Brady, okay? They're not good just because of their athletic ability. Tom Brady is not athletic.
He's not.
But he's super smart.
Like a hot wife, though.
So I believe it's more on the player. And if, when you are a player, see, I need self-starters.
Yes.
If I get a chance to talk to Scott McLuhan, I'll say, look, I need two things when you bring in players, self-starters and self-motivators. If I need a guy who needs a coach to excite him, he shouldn't be on the squad.
Here's an example of a guy who, and this is, I'm going away from football. Juan Dixon, playing in an AAU game in Georgia. Gary Williams is at the game. He's watching other people. Juan Dixon's squad is down 20. And here comes this little skinny kid diving for a basketball. And Gary Williams just turns and goes, huh. And so now he starts to pay attention to this kid who's just hustling. And he just says, I want that kid. He's tinier than anybody else on the court. I want that kid. I need that guy. And now he's the Maryland's all-time leading scorer and brought them a national title.
Yeah.
Those are the types of guys you need.
Well, think about our last show after that Giants game, which was just a debacle.
Yeah.
And we had Will Blackman out, and he was really honest.
Absolutely.
And talked about...
They need more people like that, too.
Right. I mean...
honest people.
And honest. Sure, honest people. But he said, you know, we've got some guys, and I think the words he used were, they're more about the NFL life than they are about the NFL. Right.
See, Jane... Yeah. When I got into the league until now, from 1990 to 2016, every year when the draft starts, I can tell you the people that are probably going to get released based on the fact that now they got to get their silver medallion because they don't have enough money to buy gold or platinum at that point. So they get their silver medallion, and they have to make sure everybody knows they play in the NFL.
Right.
But I watched also for the guys who pin their ears back, pull their hair back, and they go to work every day. And you don't hear about them out and doing stuff. You don't see them when you go out and about. Those are the guys that I want around here. Because I'll tell, like the people that want the life, when you bust your butt, you're going to get the life. Mm-hmm. It happens naturally.
Yeah.
But when you have to go out there to grab the life, you're not doing enough to make it happen on the football field. Like I tell people, like I said, Joe Gibbs, best coach I've ever seen in my life. But there's never been a game that he had to motivate me.
Right.
When I got up in the morning, I was motivated because it was in me. I was raised that way. My dad's an Army guy. He raised me to be, listen, you might not be the biggest, not be the fastest, not be the fastest or the strongest, but nobody better outwork you.
Joe
saw that in me. It's too many guys that we feel, too many guys we see that has to be like something, do something to them to get them excited.
Right.
It should be exciting that you get paid hundreds of thousands a week for most of them. Some are millions a week to play this game.
That's how I approach every show, by the way.
You need to be motivated?
When I wake up.
You fired up that morning?
I'm ready for the red light to go on.
Do you think I should get a silver medallion?
No. You should get more pocket
If you
want to
get fired, go get one.
More pocket squares.
Go get you a CSN. Medallion. Let's see how long you've been around.
All right, I'm going to throw names at you and you guys react.
Okay, Rihanna.
Woo! Smoke show.
Okay.
Gus Bradley. Not a smoke show.
I like a Gus Bradley. I look at the connection with Scott.
Yep, in Seattle.
And I think if Gus Bradley is the guy, then I think Scott was the guy making the moves.
That, to me, I think the biggest tell in this thing is we're going to see, who knows, but who's making this call.
Right? Gus, you know? Gus is still in Seattle right now?
Or no, Jacksonville.
This is my question.
Just got fired from the Jags.
Okay. Everybody that we're asking about, Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan.
Why not a new face?
Fisher. All these guys. Why are they free right now?
Well, so I'm going
to... Why are they free?
Fired.
They all got fired. Whether we think they're good or not, they got fired.
But there's a difference in being fired as a head coach. It's entirely possible you're a good coordinator, but not a good head coach.
North Turner.
You look at North Turner. Right, there's a great example.
I look at others. I look at that.
Like, Gus was a real good DC in Seattle.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a good head coach
in
Jacksonville.
But Gus had real good players in Seattle, too.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
I don't care who they hire. First thing that
What about Rex, since you brought him up?
What about Rex? I think Rex may be a little bit too much. Too big of a personality.
I think this team is building something that Rex will disrupt.
This team is on the way to being quiet in the offseason.
Right.
And not being a laughing stock because of outside of football stuff. Right now, football was a laughing stock. Rex brings too much other stuff to it.
Our friend Tony Wiley liked to celebrate that there's no more drama.
Right.
I think Rex will reintroduce drama.
Yeah, the whole foot fetish thing would be.
But no matter what. I need to know if Scott's going to give those people the right talent.
Totally.
That is the biggest key right there.
You can go coach
But we got to go another 10 minutes on this podcast, man. We don't have the answer to that one.
What?
But you
5 minutes.
You can go coach right now, and I can give you the – what chief is I want to go with? I'll give you the Seattle Seahawks defense, and you'll look good.
You think I will?
But I can go give Rex – the defense we had this year, he's not going to look like Rex normally looks.
See, that I think is one of the biggest questions. And whether it's Rex or Bradley or Wade Phillips or whoever your guy is, do you think this unit, the team they had this year, could have been better with somebody else?
No.
I don't think it would have been better. I don't think it would have been much better. First of all, I'm going to ask you a question. If Rex was the D coordinator, would Dante Whitner have been better?
Here's what I think. I don't think Dante Whitner would have kept playing as much as he did in the second half of the season.
Okay, so who's going to play?
I think the personnel adjustments were slow to be
made. So who's going to play? Everett?
DeShazer Everett.
Okay. Everett is a young...
Cravens.
Great talent. Cravens was hurt a lot.
He got hurt. When did he get hurt?
But I don't want nobody to tell me he got hurt because he played linebacker, because Buchanan is 211 pounds.
Fine.
And he's a damn good linebacker.
But... When did Sua get hurt? Somebody help me out. It was the elbow.
He got hurt multiple times.
Yeah.
Elbow, concussion.
In Philly.
Supposed to be blind for the rest of his life. All kinds of
crap. That story was...
Okay, but listen. The thing of it is this. A football player is a football player. He was put at a linebacker position because we felt his speed was going to make him an asset. Okay? Early in the year, he was making plays.
Right.
Then he got banged up.
Right.
Okay? Did he get banged up because people began to game plan him? And then they began to say he's a little smaller. Let's figure it out. I watched Buchanan. No, Sewell is 6'1", 222.
Okay.
Buchanan is 6'1", 211. And he's a tackling machine.
Yeah.
So a player is a player. Most safeties play down in the box all the time. It wasn't quite different what he was going to be doing.
Right.
I just feel, and I'll say it over and over again, I'll say it to some coaches in their face, I've never seen a great coach without very good or great players.
Yeah. The gumbo's
not. And I've seen a lot of great players with some terrible coaches.
That gumbo will never taste as good unless you have the ingredients.
Argument there. But I think Jay thinks clearly there's a reason they're making the switch.
They're making the switch because it's a production business. The production was minor. It was terrible.
But you don't think it could be improved? You think there's no way to improve it
without adding?
Without adding? Hell no.
No.
Why I say it, it's why. In every game, we watch the same guys get blocked and stay on blocks, and teams ran on them. In every game, we watch a 3rd and 10 or longer get connected.
3rd and 18 against Matt Barkley.
So,
that was unbelievable.
So another D coordinator come in. Is that going to make somebody stop from getting beat?
So here's what I'll say.
Is it going to make somebody rush
but
better?
Here's what I'll say to that point. I think Kendall Fuller stayed in the slot too long. When they knew Breland was a good slot corner, there was a hesitancy to move him. I think there were situations.
So who's gonna put out wide then?
What they did later in the year, Greg Toler, who and give him more safety help. Like you, I think schematically you can make changes that were slow to be made. So and I think another
when they,
defensive
when they
coordinator
made
might
those
make those changes.
Did the safeties get over and help?
They stopped getting burned in the slot. Which was killing
But
them.
Did the safety get over and help the outside?
It depended on the situation.
What happened was...
But I also think Whitner was a problem.
Every time we improved one area, other area got worse.
You're robbing Peter to pay Paul with that
so
defense because
ultimately, we didn't have enough talent.
I absolutely agree. I'm not trying to make the gumbo.
No, in the
I'm
secondary.
Just saying...
Now, I'm asking a question. Up front, and I still don't care who you put at safety, cornerback, whatever. The engine and the transmission, O-line and D-line, okay? When we needed a foot, we couldn't get it consistently.
I mean,
when another team needed a foot, they got it all the time.
Think about the first drive against the Giants in the game. They had to have that Sunday.
Pro Bowl left tackle missed his block.
Third and a foot, they couldn't get it. And then I go back to the Cardinals game, fourth down on their own 35 late in the game, one score game, and they go for it, get 15.
And
I mean, that's the exact definition of your.
And they went for it without even thinking about it.
Without a doubt,
we're
they
getting
were going
this.
For it. Right.
We're getting this.
Yeah.
Now, some of that's they probably the best running back in the NFL.
That
running back got the ball, and this hole right here, that's what he ran through.
Right.
But
right.
Rob Kelly gets the ball and makes a move.
Well, that's the other thing. The other thing here is.
Somebody's in his backfield.
Decision making, personnel wise. Rob Kelly. Should not have been playing in that second half. A big old brace on his knee. He was not the same back. For heaven's
Giants
sake.
Giants game, you're saying?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
How about just try Mac Brown?
Thank you. Mac Brown, who was explosive. Every player on that squad said, man, he does this stuff. I use stuff. It was a different word. All the time in practice. Rob Kelly was great before he got dinged up. I mean, really good. I won't say great. Really good. Loved his after contact yards. Mac Brown was faster, stronger, without Rob in that brace.
I think. Up and down the roster, there's a weird adherence to the status quo with this team that they want to let their guys prove
well,
they're good.
We're talking
good.
About that.
Yeah.
Until somebody gets hurt or hit by a car. Yeah.
They are
not...
married to scheme and married to people instead of married. I'm married to winning. Okay?
I
want to win.
I think Monica's going to be upset.
No,
with
but ultimately, I would say they have to get better. Up front,
yes,
on both sides of the ball.
No question.
Because let's get it straight now. Chris Baker was the most consistent guy on the team. He was very consistent, but he didn't always handle it, too, because he got tired at times.
Got tired, got hurt.
You know?
There was nobody else. Now, Ricky John came in and played a lot. I can't say nobody else did.
You got Williams, Scherf. That's what you got. Is Spencer Long a bona fide center in this league?
He showed, before he got hurt, he
Morgan was
good
until he got hurt.
Okay.
But think about it, though.
Morgan was playing really
hard. He played great until he got hurt. LaVal, they love him. I don't know why. LaVal lives in the backfield. And every game I tell Chick, it was my same thing. Whoever wins the line of scrimmage is going to win the game. And if you start watching football, the line of scrimmage, if you see anybody get pushed back or go the other way, look at the success of the game throughout.
The Cardinals game was, I mean, I remember
they
your
lived
Twitter
in our backfield,
like burning.
And
yeah.
their offensive line lived in our defensive backfield.
Right. We got hit more times in the backfield. Every, you know, doesn't
right.
matter.
We will stop on this one. I'm going to ask you both, who is the next DC, Chick?
Who is the next DC? It's too tough a call. And I am of the ilk, why not give – Did anybody know who Joe Gibbs was before he was given the head coaching job of the Redskins? I mean, did they know?
Huh?
Right? No. There are guys out there, and if people are paying attention, whether it's college, pro, whatever, if they're paying attention and doing their work, all the scouting department is, you know, they're not just scouting players, by the way. They're making sure who's where and doing what. I'd love to see a fresh face come in. But
might be Winooski.
Wasn't that Joe B's kind of?
Winooski out there.
I mean, that's that.
Yeah, but he's been a DC.
He's been
a DC.
And he's
twice.
He's been good at it.
And he's a Redskins player. That'll make Dan Snyder.
And I heard a lot of players give him a lot of credit all year.
Chris Baker, who I'm going to play the audio at the end of this podcast, gave him a lot of credit.
Right. So there's that's a high probability that they hire from within. But then you look at it and go, wow, but that's, you know, but does he have a different philosophy? So I just don't know. I tell you who it's not. It's not Rex Ryan. It's not Rob Ryan. Those two guys not coming here.
I hope it's not Rob, for sure.
It can't be Rob. Like, Rob, if you're going to get one, it's got to be Rex, right?
I understand. Wade Phillips, got about a 25%.
I want to ride a little tandem bike in here. Hell.
We got to get you two on a tandem bike.
Well, no.
Why? No. I have a car.
Yeah.
500 horsepower. What the hell?
I've got a helicopter.
Tell everybody how the golf trip you guys have set up.
Oh yes, the going to Scotland.
Yeah.
So
any golfers out there, listen to this real quick.
Listen, you come, go on either.
Hey, Ty Bowles, somebody put there.
Ty Bowles, what? Oh, Ty Bowles.
He's still got a job. He's a head coach in New York.
But the golf trip coming up, check our Facebook pages, B. Mitch or myself, or Mark Rippon as well. We have a golf trip to Scotland coming up next October. So you have plenty of time to go on there.
It is Save up some money.
Wait, October.
It's October.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if there's a game?
Who cares? We'll be back for the game.
It's Monday to Friday.
Okay.
All right. And we'll be back we're talking about going
they
to
got
all
football over in
the
Scotland,
greatest courses in Scotland, starting with the old course, St. Andrews, the new course, which is not really new. It's 100 years old. But Carnoustie, all of those things. And along with that, you get to have a chance to sit down, have dinner, and talk football with Brian Mitchell.
So,
Mark
ladies,
Griffin.
If your husband is a golfer, you can do that. And guys, if your wife is a golfer, you can make it a couple.
Yeah, I don't mind if the women come. I really don't. Yeah. Just bring them.
I've had some dinners with B. Mitch, and as long as I don't know how much bourbon you'll find over there, but you're going to find plenty of scotch.
Yeah.
I'll drink whatever.
Yeah, he'll drink.
They got beer, too. I'll drink beer.
They got beer. They got it all.
He'll make a halftime adjustment and drink scotch.
That trip sounds amazing. Thank you guys for coming on. Do you have a DC prediction?
No.
All right. just better talent is your demand.
Whoever the DC is, if the talent is bad, it's going to be awful.
So what is
the
gumbo recipe?
If the talent is good, it'll be better. What is what?
What is the gumbo recipe?
No, I'll have to kill you. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. Hopefully we get you some good stuff out there. Appreciate it.
All right, so that's B. Mitch ending his Facebook Live, which we were doing concurrently with this podcast.
Big word, concurrent.
I am going to say thank you to everybody for listening. Say bye, gentlemen.
Bye, gentlemen.
Peace out, dogs.
Thank you very much, guys.
I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.